Now we read together in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Let's go back there and read again verses 10 to 13. John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. It says that Jesus was in the world, the Word was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Is Britain a Christian country? Probably you're trying to get away from that question at the moment because it's been in the press so much in the last few days, following on from David Cameron's article in the Church Times last week. And no doubt, whatever your political leanings, you may have your own thoughts about David Cameron, about whether or not he is a Christian himself, and about his motivations for writing in the Church Times, whether they're personal or political. But whatever, it gives us a chance to reflect on our country and to reflect on what a Christian is as well. David Cameron thinks that we are in a Christian country, that Britain is a Christian country. And he says that we should be more confident about our Christianity. And it's not the first time he said it. Back in 2011, at the anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible, he said the Bible has helped to give Britain a set of values and morals which make Britain what it is today. And colleagues like Ian Duncan-Smith and Dominic Grieve have all added their voices. They've spoken of the historical and the constitutional reality. People are deluding themselves, they say, if they deny the UK is a Christian country. Our state, its ethics, and our society are underpinned by Christian values. The BBC weighed in, and they had 4 points for and 4 points against in this debate. The 4 points that they used to say you could support the idea that Britain is a Christian country, you can begin them all with the letter C so that you can remember them. One is the census results. 2011, 59% said they were Christian in Britain as a whole. C for census, C for church, particularly the Church of England is the established church. Bishops of the Church of England sit in the House of Lords, the Queen is the head of the church, and so on. Third C was culture, and the influence of Christianity in our culture in all kinds of ways, in its literature, in its thinking, in its history. And pointed out as well, a third of England's schools are faith schools. And the calendar was the final C. And the calendar, of course, highlights in our country Easter, Christmas, and a 7 day week with a day of rest and so on. So there are lots of arguments as well as counter-arguments about this question. But for many people, I think it's a pretty convincing case. Britain is a Christian country. I wonder what you think. Is Britain a Christian country? Well, if we analyse the question, first of all, we need to know what a country is, and then we need to know what a Christian is. Is Britain a Christian country? Well, we need to know what we mean by country, and we need to know what we mean by Christian. So let's ask the question about country first. What is a country? Is Britain a country? Well, that's how it's been presented. Britain is a Christian country. And actually, when I tried to get a definition of country, I found it's not an easy thing to define. But if we maybe start back a bit and say, well, actually, is Scotland a country? Well, yes, of course, Scotland is a country, and England and Wales. So Britain actually has three countries in it. The United Kingdom brings in Northern Ireland as well, four countries. So the picture is not simple in the sense that it's a compound of four countries, and they all have their own particular view on this, so that the census in 2011, 59% in England said they were Christian. In Northern Ireland, it was 82%. And in Scotland, Scotland was the lowest of the four. 54% said they were Christian. So there's a lot of variation within Britain as an entity, whether it's a country or not. But countries are important. Countries are important in God's way of dealing with the world. Jesus came to a country. It says in verse 11 that we read, he came to that which was his own. And I think many people think that what John is writing about here particularly is Israel. Israel was a country. It was an extraordinary country. It was a country which had been prepared for two millennia, or its people, before they were even a country, had been prepared for two millennia to receive a Messiah. They were expecting a great leader. When Jesus came to Israel, the expectation was running high, and there had been in recent times a number of individuals who had claimed to be the Messiah and had led movements. Their particular emphasis was to try and overthrow the occupying power of Rome, because Israel was an occupied nation which wanted its own sovereignty. And no doubt there is some relevance in some senses of that to the Scotland independence debate. Maybe we'll come back to that another time. I'm not saying we're an occupied country, but they were a people who wanted to be determining their own destiny and their own direction, but they couldn't, because Rome had enveloped the country and had assimilated it into the greater empire. The Messiahs tended to want to break the yoke of Rome. Jesus came to a country which was immersed in messianic expectation and also in biblical values. Because, as David Cameron said about the Bible, you could say, and the Bible in Britain, you could say about Israel, the Bible, meaning the Old Testament, has helped to give Israel a set of values and morals which make Israel what it is today. Just substituting the words Israel in place of Britain. And Israel was, if you like, a very biblically immersed and very much messianically focused nation. So of course then, when Jesus came, the nation opened his arms wide and received him. Well, it's not what verses 10 and 11 say. He made the world, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, prepared for his coming, but they did not receive him. But some people did. In verse 12, it says, to all who received him, they became the children of God. So the country, like Britain, immersed in biblical values. The country of Israel, was it a Christian country? Well, certainly was immersed in the values of the Bible, and it certainly was focusing on the coming of the Christ. But when he actually came, they didn't recognize him. Some people within the country did, but not the country. It's important then to recognise that countries as a whole are one thing, but the individuals within the countries are something quite else. And while the country, verse 11, did not receive Jesus, individuals within it did. Let's think a bit more about this. What is a Christian? Well, who gets to say what a Christian is? David Cameron? Well, he has an opinion about what a Christian is. But surely we should look to the Bible to find out what a Christian is. Problem is, The word Christian in the Bible is a pejorative term. Acts 11:26, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, were first called Christians at Antioch. It was the people outside the church that used the term. These Christ ones, they used it to speak to these little Christs, as they called them, and to put them down, to put them in their place, to label them, to compartmentalize them, say, oh, these Christians. But Luke says in Acts 11, it was the disciples, it was the followers of Jesus who were called the Christians. So the term Christian isn't really a Christian term originally. It's not really a term that came out of the church. The church started to use it later on and wore the badge of being a Christ one with pride. What is a Christian? Well, a Christian is someone who's done what verse 12. All who received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, God gave them the right to become his children. A Christian is someone who has received Jesus, who's believed in his name, and is born of God. Because these are the people that were being called Christians in the first century by people outside. Those who had received Jesus, who had believed in his name, and were born of God. So becoming a Christian in these verses is a deliberate act. It's not something that just happens because you happen to be born in a place or into a certain family. It's a decision that you make. You receive Jesus, you believe in his name. So you become a Christian. You aren't born that. And whatever country you're in, no matter how Christianized it is, no matter how many Christians there are in your family or in your community, that doesn't make you a Christian until you choose to become a Christian. You're not a Christian. It's a deliberate act. What does believing in Jesus' name mean? In verse 12. That's curious. John's Gospel says most about this in the whole Bible. There's 87 verses in John's Gospel that speak about believing in Jesus. But none of them define what is meant by believing in Jesus, which is interesting. Why? Well, because it was obvious in this day in which John wrote what believing in Jesus meant. Because the country was expecting a Messiah. And there were quite a number of pretenders to the title arising from time to time. And every so often, the people of Israel had the chance to say, oh, maybe it's Judas the Galilean. Maybe it's this guy called Thaddeus. We'll go for him. We'll follow him. And then Jesus comes along. And they've got to make a choice. Which one they're going to believe in. Which one they're going to receive. Which one they're going to trust. Which one they're going to follow. Because that's what believing in the Messiah meant. It meant deciding which one was the right one, and once you've decided, committing yourself to that particular Messiah. Now Jesus, when he came, of course, was uniquely qualified. He wasn't a political figure who just happened to want to overthrow the Romans and happened to have a bit of charisma and leadership and a bit of anger and attitude. Jesus came approved by God, announced by angels, virgin birth, and sinless in his life, and glorious in his words and in his works, miraculous in his powers. He attested his identity as Messiah by what he did and what he said. And no one else could do the things that Jesus did. And so when he came, some people, as verse 12 says, received him. They said, he's the one. Trouble was, he wasn't quite the messianic figure they were mostly expecting, which was a political figure to overthrow the Romans. And that caused them difficulty. Many struggled with that. In John chapter 6, you see the disciples, the inner core of Jesus' followers, and many others with them. And some of the others decide we're not going to follow Jesus anymore. It's too difficult. It's not going the way we want it to go. And Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, what about you? Are you going to go away? And Peter, representing them, says, Lord, who will we go to? You're the one who has the words of eternal life. We believe and know you're the Holy One of God. And you see, there was that believing, there was that identification of Jesus as the one to follow, and there was that commitment to follow him. That's what believing meant. It meant saying, he's the one, we're following him. Now in Britain, we have plenty of other claimants to the truth, plenty of other claimants to the way to God. There are other religions, a plethora of them, in our country. And we have to decide, are we going to trust them? Are we going to trust Muhammad? Are we going to trust Buddha? Are we going to trust Joseph Smith of the Mormons? Or are we going to not trust any of them and not bother? Or are we going to trust Jesus? And the Christian has to identify, or is the person who has identified, that they trust Jesus and that they follow him. So it means a decision, it's a deliberate act, and it means that you become hostage to the fortunes of Jesus' name in society. See, a Christian is not someone who can just sort of walk away and say, ah, oh, it's getting a bit hot in the church just now, it's getting a bit difficult to be a Christian just now, or just not have anything to do with it. Christian is someone who is so identified with Jesus that when it's popular to be a Christian, then they'll enjoy that popularity. But when it's difficult, they will share in the persecution of Jesus' name. And over the world today, there are many millions of true Christians who share in the persecution of Jesus' name because they have identified he is the one. No matter what society thinks, he is the one, and they're following him. Now, of course, each one of us knows what it is to be vulnerable to trusting, or how trusting makes us vulnerable. Most of you, I'm sure, have found that on the internet or an email. I mean, every other day you'll get probably something in your email box saying, it's your bank, and please can you update your details or something like that. And you have to decide, well, is this really my bank? And it won't be your bank, probably. If you decide to trust that website, that person who purports to be someone getting in touch, then you may divulge to them personal details. And you know that if they are not who they say they are, they might abuse what you give to them or misuse it. And you feel vulnerable. You have to decide which name you're going to believe. And it's the same, or to a greater extent, with Jesus. Because there are many religious offerings in the supermarket of religion. But you've got to look at it and say, no, none of the others are true. They're pretenders. The true Messiah, the true one whom God has sent, the true way to God is Jesus. And a Christian is someone who makes that decision and commits to that decision. Now, the reality is that, as it says in verse 11 and 12, the country may not receive Jesus, but individuals within it will. Why doesn't the country receive Jesus? Well, Jesus tells us that himself in chapter 3 when he's addressing Nicodemus, one of the representatives of the country. Verse 19 of chapter 3 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world. That's Jesus speaking of himself. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. It was just too difficult for them to follow because their lifestyle was contrary to what the Messiah was asking them to do and calling them to do. And that's the problem today as well. You know, I think some people imagine that if Jesus kind of walked into Plockton, that everyone would just be all over him. And that everyone would follow him. No, that's not true. But it's not even Jesus who's representing Jesus in Plockton. It's his people. It's the Christians in Plockton. It's the church in Plockton. And the church is an imperfect body. So even if the church is doing its very best, even if it's tuned in perfectly to what is the most culturally relevant expression of the truth of the Christian faith for the community here, and even if everything about what we do ourselves here is absolutely attractive on a human level to people, they'll still not come. Unless they're prepared to make a decision. You know, this is the one. Because men prefer darkness. That's Jesus' words. And they did so in Jesus' day, and they do so today. So to speak of a Christian country is quite alien to what is being presented here. The country rejected Jesus. Individuals within it received him. So, is Britain a Christian country? Well, what does David Cameron think? He thinks it is. Okay, so what does he think a Christian is? That's interesting. That's very interesting. I'm not going to pass any judgment about David Cameron himself, but let's hear his words. What does David Cameron mean when he speaks of someone he calls a Christian? Here's David Cameron's Christian. He says, I am a committed Christian. I am vaguely practicing and full of doubts. Right, so committed Christian is someone who is vaguely practicing and full of doubts. Okay? He says, I believe in God. Okay, a Christian believes in God. I'm a Christian and I worship. I'm quoting him here, of course. Not as regularly as I should, but I go to church. I like this one. He says, my faith comes and goes like the reception of Magic FM in the Chilterns. Okay? He speaks of the country's Christian values of responsibility, hard work, charity, compassion, humility, love. He also says, I'm not one for doctrinal purity. I don't believe it's essential for evangelism about the church's role in our society or its importance. Okay, so there's a few quotes from David Cameron. You can get these on the Church Times website, or if you go back to the 2011 King James Version celebrations, he made a speech then as well. So here's David Cameron's Christian. He is woolly. He is woolly. She is woolly. He believes in values. He believes in God. But neither of these are distinctively Christian things, of course. There are plenty of people who believe in values, and there are plenty of people who believe in God who would not say that they're Christians. He says he's committed, but he's not committed to the church that Christ founded. He says he goes sometimes, not as regularly as I should. Now, when people say to me they don't go as regularly as they should, that usually means to me they hardly ever go. I don't know whether David Cameron goes much or not. I don't know. But what does that say if his commitment to the church Christ founded is that he doesn't go as often as he should? What is his commitment to Christ? And who is Christ anyway? Because his Christian, David Cameron's Christian, is characterized by vagueness, by doubts, by a lack of doctrinal clarity. He says it himself. So the Christian, in David Cameron's version of Christian, is someone who believes in values, someone who believes in God, someone who occasionally goes to church, but isn't clear at all what they believe about Jesus. Now, by that definition, Britain maybe is Christian. It may well be that a majority of people in Britain would fit that definition. They sometimes go to church. They do believe in God, they believe in values, but they really don't know what they believe about Jesus. It's not what it's saying here, though, is it? Verse 12. They receive Jesus, they believe in his name, He's the Messiah. He's the right one. He's the one they follow. He's the way to God. He's the only way to God. We're not vague about it. We know what we believe. We will follow Jesus whatever it costs. And we'll be glad to be with others who also follow him whenever we can. People like that are not in a majority in Britain. People like the people of verse 12 are not in a majority in Britain. If church attendance figures are to be believed, then they are less than 10% of the people of Britain. Probably quite a bit less than 10%. By the measure of what Jesus and his disciples, John particularly here, say, Britain is far from Christian. Indeed, if you had a household and one member of the household was a committed Christian and the other member of the household was a committed atheist, would you say it was a Christian household? I don't think so, because there would be two completely contrary influences. Well, by that measure, Britain is certainly not a Christian household, because the predominant influences in Britain are not Christian. By far the predominant influences in Britain are not Christian. The influences of people who are Christians, who are truly, who have received Jesus and believe in his name, who are committed to following him, that influence is pretty small. And it's certainly in the vast minority, small minority. I find myself actually in this debate agreeing with Peter Tatchell, no less. Peter Tatchell actually often talks a lot of sense. Although I don't agree with him on some fundamental things, but he says this. He says it's factually not accurate to call Britain a Christian country. Well, I can't agree more. And he points to a YouGov poll recently in which 65% of people in Britain said they were non-religious. Okay. Which is quite interesting, because if 59% said they're Christians but 65% said they're non-religious, that really does make you wonder what being a Christian means to a lot of people. So being born in Britain does not mean being born in a Christian country in terms of what the Bible says a Christian is. And even less so in Scotland, which is more secular than the rest of the UK. As verse 13 says, you become a child of God not by natural descent or a human decision or a husband's will, not by being born into a certain place or a certain family. You become a Christian when you believe in the name of Jesus and you're born, verse 13 says, of God. You make a deliberate choice. And God confirms that choice to you by giving you life. It's something we do, and it's something that God honours. There isn't a Christian country, but there are Christians. We are looking for a better country, Hebrews says, a heavenly one. That's a Christian country. It says in the book of Revelation that in the world to come, they follow the Lamb. They follow Jesus wherever he goes. That's a Christian country. Because everyone is following Jesus. Britain's not a Christian country. Britain has some real Christians in it. We thank God for that. And what Britain really needs is more of them. It may be that what many people call Christian, and what David Cameron calls a Christian, is what people would like Christian, what people would like a Christian to be. They would like it if being a Christian meant just believing in God, sometimes going to church, having values, but not really having a clue about Jesus. They'd be quite happy if that's what it meant, but it doesn't mean that. It means receiving and believing in the name of Jesus. He's the one. And committing to follow him in our lives. We all need to hear about that kind of Christian. That's the real Christian. And we all need to decide ourselves, are we going to be that kind of Christian? Not a David Cameron kind of definition, but what the Bible says. A man or a woman or a young person who has received Jesus, who has believed, trusted, in his name, made himself or herself vulnerable to him, divulged in a personal information and details to him, and trusted him to take care of us, and who has entrusted themselves to his leadership and to where that will take us, and to sharing in the fortunes, whatever they are, of his name in the country. That's a Christian. What Britain needs, what Scotland needs, is Christians like that, real Christians, who stand up and are counted for Jesus and are not ashamed of his name. Let's bow in prayer for a moment now. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge of your word today, and we pray that you will help us to respond to it wholeheartedly by receiving and believing and trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we may have that wonderful knowledge that you received us into your family, and that we can call you our Father in heaven and know the richness of what that means in our daily lives and forevermore.